Thanks for checking out the Lakeshore Podcast. If this is your first time listening with us, we want you to know God loves you. We want for your hope in Jesus to be renewed and for your faith to come to life. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
It is God's word written to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I receive it as truth for my life today and open my heart to hear God speak a word, reveal Jesus to me, fill me with the Holy Spirit, then send me out to share Christ with others so that my life will be changed forever. In Jesus' name, amen. What would Jesus say about forgiveness? In my greatest hour of need, my closest friends deserted me. Judas betrayed me, Peter denied me, and the rest fled for their lives. Only John followed me from afar. I had cared for them for 3 years, feeding them, ministering to them, training them, and teaching them. Yet, as I died for the sins of the world, I forgave. I released all of them, from my friends who had deserted me to the Roman guard who had crucified me. They didn't ask for forgiveness, yet I freely gave it. I think that's what Jesus would say. What about you? Freely we have received, therefore freely we should give. We've been on this series that we're calling, I Can't Live Like This Anymore, Healing the Hurt That Is Hurting Me. So many times people are stuck in unforgiveness and they don't even realize that's a hurt that's hurting them. And we realize together, especially as we've been studying this the last few weeks, that the people of God who have been forgiven by God should learn to get to a place where they're freely giving the same forgiveness that God gave them. Amen? I know this is going to be an ongoing, lifelong challenge for most of us, if not all of us, because we're human and we're dealing with people. We love people, but sometimes relationships are difficult. The title of today's message is Avoiding Offense. Come on, say it with me. Avoiding Offense. And if you're a quick flipper and you want to go in your Bible to Luke chapter 17 and Philippians chapter 2, just to hold your place, you might want to make a mark, a highlight, or whatever you can, but most of that is going to be on your sermon guide as well. I like marking up my Bible. I like using my Bible. I want to encourage you to do the same. So we're continuing in this series, and I just want to remind us that the heartbeat of this series is about relationships, particularly the area of unforgiveness. And it's important because relationships are a precious gift from God, but the Bible's clear and the Bible's consistent. As long as we live in this world, we're going to have plenty of opportunities for offense, and all of us are going to experience hurt and pain and sometimes the dysfunction that comes with it. And God knew that. And through salvation, he's provided supernatural ability to walk in forgiveness, allowing him to heal the hurt that is hurting us. I don't have time to go through the last 4 weeks. I'll just mention last week, we went back to Matthew chapter 18 and we took a closer and final look at some of the forgiveness areas. And then we included biblical boundaries. If you missed that message, I want you to go get it because that is so important. And we got to remember that even when we do use biblical boundaries, God's intention is still to bring healing and restoration to us as individuals and to us as individuals in relationships with one another. So grab the podcast if you missed it, or you can go to Facebook and you can watch it. Today, so we're shifting our focus a little bit and we're talking about avoiding offense altogether. We're just going to talk about avoiding it. How do we avoid it? Well, the first thing we got to know is this, and this is an eye-opener, is that you can't. It's impossible, which is why weeks 1 through 4 are so essential. If you missed any of those, go back. However, thank God for God's word. Amen. Anybody grateful for God's word? God's word will show us that I could safeguard ourselves and others from being unnecessarily vulnerable to offense and its damaging effects to us individually and for us in our relationships. In Luke chapter 17, verse 1, it says this: Then Jesus said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come." So Jesus doesn't want us to be offenders either, but he wants for his disciples, his followers, that's you and I, to know it's impossible. Offenses are going to come and you're going to have opportunity. I'm going to have opportunity to be offended. The word offenses in the Greek, it's an interesting word, scandalon. Scandalon, S-C-A-N-D-O-A-L-O-N, scandalon. And that's where we get our English word scandal or scandalous. And it's originally describing a small stick. I think I have an image on the screen that we can put up of a scandalon. It's describing a small stick that's kept on a door, on a trap, till an animal enters it and he gets caught because he went after the bait, and the bait stick triggered the scandalon, causing the door or the lid to shut down and trap the animal. That's really a picture of offense. That's a picture, a scandalon, that is always out to get us. It wants us to go after the bait, offense, and when we go after it and we get into it, guess what happens? We get trapped. That's what it means to be offended. Luke 17 is basically saying, as long as you're living in this world, there are going to be times and there are going to be situations and conversations and interactions when everything seems to be going well, and then suddenly you realize a trap door, a scandalon has been set, and if you're not careful, you'll take the bait and you can get trapped in offense. Again, when this happens, weeks 1 through 4 in Matthew chapter 18, I want to remind you, there's 4 steps to get out. So go back and study that if you haven't already. Luke 17:1 is basically saying, whatever you do, make sure you're not the one who's created or caused the offense intentionally or unintentionally. How many of you have ever been offended? How many of you have ever been the offender? Come on, those of you who didn't lift your hands, you're lying. You're lying, I know you are. All of us have been on both sides of the fence. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2 for some ways that we can begin to pull into our lives to just avoid offense. Philippians chapter 2, I want to read verses 1 through 11, kind of set a foundation. This is what it says. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? It's a rhetorical question. What's the answer? Yes. Any comfort from his love? What's the answer? Absolutely yes. Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Yep. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Let me say this. They're getting there. Amen. We're growing in that. Verse 2. Then make me truly happy. Paul says, then make me truly happy. Keep on growing by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. Listen, loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. Okay, that's what to do. Now here's how to do it, okay? This is what it takes to do it. Verse 3, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Let me just pause and interject this. In the New King, I'm reading out of the NLT. It's an easy read. In the New King James Version, and probably the King James Version, instead of the word attitude, it uses the word mind. So it's not just talking about an attitude, like he had a good attitude or she had a bad attitude. It's talking about a mindset. It's talking about the way you think. You must have the same mind that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he's going to give us a glimpse of the mind that he had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on the cross. Verse 9, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, verse 11, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And everyone said, amen. Look at verse 3 again with me, Philippians 2, 3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. How many of you believe that our culture at large lives according to this verse? Right? That's laughable. How many of you believe as a church, we still need to grow in this though? Amen? We need to grow in this. This word selfish in the New Testament, it's a picture of someone who is jockeying for position by trying to make himself look superior to others. Almost like a politician. Can you hear me? Almost like a politician. Isn't that true? Don't, he goes on, he says, don't try to impress others. Don't try to, that's an interesting word in the Greek. Kenodoxia. K-E-N-O-doxia. D-O-X-I-A. It's a compound word, two parts. Kenos, K-E-N-O-S. And that means something is hollow, empty. And the second part of the word, doxos, means glory. Or we could say full or splendid. Together, it's talking about someone who is hollow and empty in their bragging. Almost like they're bragging in a big tunnel and you just hear an echo because it's empty. Don't try to impress others. Don't be braggadocious, full of empty self, puffing yourself up, talk. Paul's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Can I just remind us about what the prophetic word was in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 is, as we're getting closer and closer in the end times to the returning of the Lord Jesus. Notice what he says. He said, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, that's where we're living, there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving. Notice this, and unforgiving. Unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. Come on, do we see this on the headlines in the news or what? They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride. Listen. And love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, Stay away from people like that. Why? It's a breeding ground for offense. Both ways. Remember, biblical boundaries are necessary sometimes. That doesn't mean that we don't love the world and people who live this way. That doesn't mean we cast them out. That doesn't mean we're waving our religious hands or fingers at them. Doesn't mean we're condemning or hurtful. No, no, no. Jesus loves sinners. But Jesus preached the truth to sinners. Jesus didn't conform. Jesus brought a word of transformation. Amen? There's a difference. So back to Philippians 2:3. How do we safeguard ourselves from being offended? How do we avoid offense altogether? Number one, think about this with me. He says, be humble. Come on, say that with me. Be humble. Humble means to think about yourself in a way that is modest, unpretentious. It's not conceited. You think of others more than yourself. Come on, this is not easy. The Lord is working overtime in my life with this. This is a progression that is lifelong to walk in humility. Paul also says this, thinking of others better than yourself. Come on, somebody say, that's hard against my flesh, Pastor Robert. It is. It's hard sometimes. Right? That's tough. Thinking of others better than yourselves. Esteeming others. Valuing. Treating. Prioritizing how we treat others as more important than how you're treated yourself. Let me brag on our church for a second though, okay? We have a church, especially at this campus, that's learning how to do this really, really well. I've got all kinds of stories and all kinds of testimonies that I know that are taking place in your lives. You know, recently, we had a family member who was sick, and I heard from more than one or two different families who just took it upon themselves, and they made some homemade food. And they took it over to them and dropped it with them. Because when people are sick, sometimes you don't feel like cooking, amen? You're just tired, you're sick. And so we got family members, no official ministry. Hey, we're just going to get some food. We're going to make some homemade chicken soup or whatever. And we're going to take it to somebody's house who's not feeling well. We're going to give it to them, right? And then in the Christmas season, we got some people in our church who might have been going through a difficult time. And there were several people in our church family who donated well over $1,000 to help a family to push through the Christmas season. And then we got Barbara. Barbara tries to buy a gift for everybody in our church, right? Thinking of others more than yourself, right? We got all kinds of people in here who do. We got people who are just kind. People are stepping out and they're others-minded. I'm proud of you for living like that and allowing Christ to live through you like that. That's a mark of the work of Jesus in your life. Jesus said, by this, people will know that you're my followers. By your love for one another. That's a key principle in the kingdom of God. I'm proud of our church for learning to walk this out and be others minded. We're already in Philippians 2:5. Notice this. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Remember, attitude is not just a feeling, it's how you think. It's a mindset. Phroneo. The way you think and how your mindset wants you to think more and more like Jesus. Let me add Matthew 20, 25 through 28. But Jesus called them together and said, you know the rulers in this world lord it over people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. Verse 26. But among you, it will be different. He's talking to his followers. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. Why? Verse 28. Because or for even the Son of Man, referring to himself, came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus could have set up his kingdom, his throne, and said, serve me, serve me, serve me. I'm the king. But he didn't. He laid himself down and he was others-minded. and he came to be a servant, first and foremost. Notice, Jesus doesn't reprimand his disciples for wanting to be great. He said, you want to be great? Be a servant. That's what it means to be great in the kingdom of God. That's a difference from 2 Timothy chapter 3, where people are lovers of themselves and they have this kind of transactional relationship perspective. What's in it for me? If there's something in it for me, then maybe I'll do something for you. But unless you do something for me, I don't think I'm going to do anything for you. Kind of this, you know, I'll only bless you if you bless me first. That's a breeding ground for offense. That's not how Jesus functions. That's not how we should function. In Matthew 20, it's a servant's heart that's in the middle of relationships. And that servant's heart is sacrificial. That servant's heart wants to know how he can be a blessing to friends and family. He wants to be someone who carries an environment with him for healing and restoration and blessing. He's not always looking to be the one blessed. He's not always looking to get something out of somebody. We got family members like that in this church, and I'm proud of you for that. That's really, really good. Speaking of that, some of you know we just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. Thank God Yolanda prays for me. She's only made it with me because she's a woman of prayer. Let me tell you that. But some of you gave so that we could experience a wonderful time on our cruise. We went on a cruise for the first time in our lives. We went on a cruise ship. Some people gave so that we can experience a really special time. We did. We went into our room and there were celebratory things hanging from the ceilings. Congratulations. Happy anniversary. They wrote on our mirror. We had a big cake. I don't know if I'm happy about that or not because I ate a lot of it. But we had a big cake and it was celebratory and we had a little bit of extra spending cash as credits on the cruise ship, and we had a nice dinner, and it was amazing. That only happens because we have a church that's learning how to be a blessing and be others-minded. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for that. So important. So important. Okay, so I'm going to give you three keys real quick. Ready? Real quick. Come on, somebody say real quick. Number one. This is how we're going to avoid being offended. Number one, here's the fill in the blank. Being self-absorbed leads to offense. You need to know that. Being selfish or self-absorbed is going to make you and I vulnerable and it leads to offense real quick, okay? Self-absorbed people often experience or create offense not over wrongdoing, but because they're just annoyed. They're always on edge. They're always thinking about themselves. So they're quick to fall into the bait trap, the scandalous offense. Don't be self-absorbed. Don't be selfish. Matthew 24:10, Jesus says, and then many, speaking about end times, and then many will be offended, scandalizo, same word, many will be offended. Notice what happens. Will betray one another. They'll turn against each other. They'll hate one another. That's what happens when people are offended. Hebrews 12 talks about offense getting into your life or my life as a root of bitterness. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15 says this, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up. So he's cautioning us there. Bitterness gets in down in our heart and our spirit, poisonous root, and it begins to grow. I don't know if you've ever been around someone or you've been bitter at times. I have. Everything about you is negative and dark and kind of judgmental and sharp and annoyed and, you know, walking on eggshells around me when I'm like that. It's just not, that's not how God wants us to live. But if you'll avoid being self-absorbed, if I'll avoid being self-absorbed or selfish, then I'll be less likely to be offended. Number two, write this down. Offense gives birth to bitterness. You need to be aware of that. I need to be aware of that. Romans 12, 17 through 19 says, never pay back evil for evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you're honorable. Do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Don't be a vengeful person. Don't try to take revenge. You got to know, and I got to know, that offense leads or gives birth to bitterness. So don't be a person who's easily offended. Ephesians 4:31 through 32 says this, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Notice, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. I called my sister yesterday. She cut me off about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. And about 3 or 4 years ago, I tried to connect with her, and she didn't want to have anything to do with me. She's mad, she's bitter, she's offended, she's hurt. I kind of shared that with you already. But since we've been on this subject, I'm driving down the road. Anybody drive down the road, and you're just kind of thinking about things, you know. And I'm thinking about my sister. And I called my brother. There's a connection. And while I was on the phone with him, he lives in Idaho, he said, I called my sister, the one that's cut me off. I called my sister a couple months ago, and I was surprised she answered the phone because she cut him off too. I said, wow, I'm so proud of you, man. You called her because they've been disconnected. Kinds of stuff happens in families. And he said it was kind of a short, a little on the cold side of a conversation, but we had one. I said, good for you, man. I hope you call her back soon, you know. He goes, yeah, I'll be honest, Bobby. He calls me Bobby. I'll be honest, Bobby. I was surprised she took my call. And so I hung up with him after we talked, and then I started feeling guilty. In a good way, I think it was the Holy Spirit. He's like, what about you? You should call her. Because I said I would, but I haven't. And so I called. I got her voicemail. It was one of those voicemails when she said something, I thought she was there. Have you ever called one of those? Hello? Oh, I think she's there. Sorry I missed you. Oh, she's not there. Thanks for calling. Leave me a message. Da, 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 da. So I left her a message. Hopeful. 24 hours. Haven't heard back from her. Do everything that you can to live at peace with other people. Amen? You can't make people live at peace with you, but you can do everything you can to make sure no root of bitterness gets in there and you're freely forgiving. Come on, somebody say amen. That's so important, so important. Here's your third and final fill in the blank. You need to know this if you want to avoid offense. Bitterness is fertile ground for deception. You got to know this. And here's the thing about deception. You don't even know when you're deceived. Because it looks true. It looks right. There's a way that seems right to a man, but his way is death and destruction. Back to Matthew 24:10. Jesus says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then basically sets the stage for the next words. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. So offense and bitterness is a stage, a platform, a foundation for deception. Doesn't necessarily have to be from a false prophet. The enemy's behind deception, and he's looking for a way to deceive and manipulate believers. And you need to know that. So just make a decision to live others-minded, to don't be selfish, to don't take offense, to don't let it grow into a place of bitterness, because that will all lead to being deceived. Let me close with this scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is an important warning that the Apostle Paul gave to his son Timothy in the faith. He wants Timothy to stay free of deception. He wants Timothy's congregation to stay free of deception. Paul says, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct. Patiently rebuke and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. By the way, for a pastor, that includes forgiveness, healing, and the restoration for individuals and relationships. Amen. We need to stay free of offense and bitterness and ultimately deception. So Pastor Robert, okay, what should I do? What should I do? A lot of information, but what should I do? Here's what you got to do real quick. I wrote it down for you. Refuse to be selfish and self-absorbed. Instead, live with the mind of Christ and think about others first. Be humble and walk in obedience to the Father. Amen. Have you been blessed by the word? Come on, stand up to your feet. Let me pray for us before we leave. Some of you watching, or some of you here, you might be thinking, man, this is a hard thing to do. I don't know if I could do all unforgiveness and forgiving and don't be offended. This goes against your flesh. It goes against my flesh. It's not something that we're just naturally inclined to do as humans. But let me just remind you, as a son or a daughter of God, you are now supernaturally inclined to live this way. This is part of who we are as God's people. Some of you know I'm in a college degree program right now. A 55-year-old man in a college degree program right now. And I look at my homework and I look at my studies and these first two classes I'm going through and I get overwhelmed. Books, I've never read so many books in my life. Barbara knows what that's like. I read like 5 books in 5 weeks. And I got to do all kinds of posts online and answer my professor's questions. 5-page papers, 15-page papers with citations and references. And it's got to be right. It's like, oh, I can't do this. With God's help, I can. This has been my favorite saying recently. I can do anything that God helps me to do. Got an A in my first class. 2 more weeks till I finish my second class. I've got A's so far. I'm ahead of my projects. I'm working on my final 15-page paper. I can do anything that God helps me to do. I want you to hear that. Because you can too. And the more that we learn to allow the Spirit of Christ to flow through us, the more we're going to experience Him in our lives, and the more that we'll help other people to experiencing Him through our lives. And this area is important. So many relationships are dysfunctional because of unforgiveness, offense, and bitterness in families and in churches. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your presence today, God. Father, I pray this prayer over your people this morning with all sincerity of heart. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you Shalom, peace. I declare that over your people today, God. In Jesus' name, All of God's people said, amen.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.